With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. We are now coming to you with improved sound quality, two different Zooms working at once across 3,000 miles.
Our Zooms are actually the ones in a long-distance relationship.
I know, truly. We used to have one child who we shuttled from the Upper West Side. Nope, further.
Harlem,
yeah, too.
It's Brooklyn. It's almost like in the Game of Life, we had another baby.
Oh my gosh, yes. My favorite thing to do in the Game of Life was when we would get too many children and we would stick them between the wheels of the car because they fit perfectly. you know, when you'd have like 10 people in your family, it's great.
I don't think I ever got there. I'll admit that the most times I've played the Game of Life was in the computer game version of it.
Wow, I have never done that.
It is amazing. Alex and I used to play a lot. I have such distinct, visceral memories of the like cut scenes between, like, it would be like, you got a job, and this like cartoon would happen.
I've learned so much in recent days about games you and Alex used to play. We all have our things.
Before we talk, yes, Kingdom Hearts 3 is out, and I'm desperately trying to find a way to play it. I love games.
And for now, she's watching people play it instead to satiate the need, which I wholeheartedly support.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I'm in a new city and I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, tell me more.
Oh my God, I haven't told you this story yet. You guys, I need to walk you through my morning yesterday.
So. I know, you just dropped that line and then didn't tell me what happened.
Because I wanted to tell you on the air.
Got it. Sure.
I, in order to teach at a core power, in order to sub, you have to get a walkthrough from the manager. So I have been like shuttling myself around LA to get walkthroughs of studios. I've taught now 2 classes since
Hell
we last
yes.
spoke.
And as I heard, the first one was what, your favorite C1 you've ever taught?
It's my C2.
C2, what, even better?
I heartbreakingly probably won't teach C1s on this schedule because there aren't as many. I was going to take a walkthrough at this one studio and I took the manager's class before and then I was like, okay, I'm going to shower and then I'll, you know, we'll regroup. So I go to shower, I shower and someone's alarm is just like going off in their locker. Like they obviously like had a birth control moment that they just like decided to not take care of, and so like the alarm is just like going off and they were probably like in class,
right?
And it started when I was going in the shower, and when I came out of the shower it was still happening, and there was like me and this other woman in the locker, and I was like, oh, that's so annoying. And she's like, I know. And we were like talking about it, and I like clock this woman from like the head, like neck down, because she's wearing like a black bra and black underwear and Fendi boots, and that's
oh my god.
And I'm just like, LA is weird.
About to get like weirder.
Getting out of the shower, whatever. And we're like talking about class. And she's like got her hair in a bun. She's got like, she just took Sculpt and she is changing without showering. So her like makeup is like a little runny. I haven't like made eye contact with her. But we're just like talking about class and about showering and like how she doesn't like
all
to
the
shower in like public showers without sandals.
Uh-huh. Like, shocks me not at all, given.
Well, I was like, yeah, like, I guess I've just sort of, she's like, but it's all the same anyway. She's like, I can't stop sweating and I know I look like such a weirdo right now. And as she says that, I like finally like make eye contact with her and I realize that the woman that I'm talking to is Gwyneth Paltrow. And I'm like, huh.
The creator of Goop herself.
The creator of Goop herself. Because I know she takes a core power. She's taken a core power in New York. I've never encountered her. But the fact that I encounter her like bra, underwear, Fendi boots.
I mean, welcome to LA.
That's what they told. She was like, yeah, like I look like a weirdo, but I just can't stop sweating. And I was like, yeah, you know, like you're living your life. And she was like, and I packed this like sweater dress and we're like talking about it. I'm like, it's going to feel so good when you go outside. It's so cool. Blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. It was just like, we had like a really normal, lovely conversation. She was like, she was so sweet. And she left. And then I like, she walked out of the locker room. I heard her like say goodbye to the people in the studio. And I like popped out like in a bra. And I was like, was that Gwyneth Paltrow? And they were like, yeah, welcome to LA. And I was like, I can't believe the first person to see me naked in LA is
What could be better? That's an incredible story. Thank you for saving it for live reactions.
It's like a really good story.
I mean, the Fendi boots is truly what nails it.
The like, yes, I agree. The Fendi boots is what sells it.
It kind of shocks me she's that chill and normal in person and is selling like $2,000 vagina crystals in her life, you know.
I mean, what an honor that Core Power made the cut. I will tell you that Fred the cat has just entered the space.
Oh, Fred, I love him so hard from afar. That's and he loves so hard from afar.
And now he's left.
Uh-huh. That's cat love for you.
How are you?
I am pretty good. I told you this. I texted you this, but I got some hair product from Amika to try because Brooke and I both became obsessed with this dry shampoo we got in our Birch boxes. But they came today and it's so beautiful and I'm so excited to use them. And I've just recently got a lot of like skincare stuff and hair stuff and I just have to like care about something to do it and suddenly I'm like, oh, I care about this.
What did you get?
I got a curl cream and I got a hair repair mask and then I got to pick out a bunch of free samples and yeah, I'm very excited about it all. Also, did you order a jade roller too after that tweet?
Yeah, it's coming tomorrow.
Oh, I know. Mine got here in 24 hours and I was so thrilled about it.
I think mine also comes like doing it. A gua sha thing.
Yes,
too.
Mine too.
I wonder if they got the same one.
Maybe, yeah. But a lot of the ones I looked at came with them. I'm much more clear on what the roller does than the like scrapey thing, but it still feels really good.
And Hillary says if you put them in the fridge too before.
Yeah, they stay really cool and like, I know. That'll be nice for you, especially in the climate you now live in.
Oh, yeah. It's been raining in L.A. And I've lived in L.A. I've lived in L.A. Mm-hmm. for 2 weeks now.
Boop, boop, boop.
And it's rained like three or four times.
Dang. Well, I guess it is January. No longer. But
it is February officially. And happy Groundhog Day.
Oh, yes. Apparently, we're supposed to get an early spring. But
really?
Apparently, the gopher groundhopper, nope.
It's definitely a groundhog, hence the name Groundhog Day.
I said gopher and then I said groundhopper.
I like groundhopper.
Groundhopper Day, yes. Apparently they're often wrong. So who knows? But we have yet to have real snow here, except we did have a snow squall on Thursday.
Is that what they call it? A snow squall?
It is what they called it. It was really crazy from the 36th floor because it was like 10 minutes of just being inside of a snow globe and then it was gone and it was the most beautiful sunset.
Oh, right. This is our friend and producer Dalton got knocked over by the wind.
Yes. Man, it was crazy. Especially in lower Manhattan, it's just like a wind tunnel because all the wind whips in and then through all of those crazy streets.
God. Oh, Fred is back.
Fred, the friendly podcast ghost.
He comes and looks at me. He like scopes around. He's like, he's just checking it out. My room. Actually.
Just making sure. Yeah. No, I love it. You have invaded his space, but I don't know. I think he loves you.
I think
you feed
he loves
him.
Me too. I feed him.
Classic.
I don't know what else to share. Oh, I'm teaching now.
Yeah, it's official.
It feels good. It feels good.
I mean, it's kind of like it gives you momentum in your life there. Yes. And schedule and people. And it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And Lily got here.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah. I was going to ask. How was?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You guys are going out tonight?
Yeah, we're supposed to go to like a party somewhere, but this rain though.
Yeah, I know.
And also, I'm tired though.
I know. I'm supposed to go to a, like, stop by a birthday party tonight, and I just don't think it's going to happen. Also, I'm in a very specific, particular, like, organizing, decluttering mood, and I kind of want to just stay here and get really, really focused on the task. Happy amazing. Saturday to me.
I love that for you. You got a Marie Kondo.
That kind of did inspire me, where I've never done that fully. It's I'm big on like paring down.
Everyone in our age bracket.
I mean, of course.
Maybe I do.
I'm also just particularly bad at, I'm not, I just like keep a lot of sentimental stuff that I really don't need to. But it's hard to.
I started getting rid of that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
A move is great.
Lily and I were talking about that.
Yes, it's very hard.
Monday is the year, our year from when we left toward Israel.
That is bonkers.
So we're getting dinner to celebrate our trip, the total trip.
Wow.
The trip is in a whole because it was like a big trip for both of us. And I think it also like made us into the friendship that we are more.
Definitely.
But... Oh, we were talking yesterday and I was like, yeah, I threw away my name tag and all that shit when I was moving. Mm-hmm. She was like, she's moving. She just moved to LA too. And she was like, no, I kept it all of it. And I was like,
No. A move is the perfect. That's like the only good thing about a move, honestly, is like the chance to go through and be really, really intense about getting rid of shit.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I don't know where it all comes from. What's happening? Is Fred on the bed? Yes. Yeah. Fred on the bed.
Fred has joined
Brooke's
me.
Brooke's face
in
just
the...
lit up. I can see a tail waving. It's so cute.
He's probably going to be some noise on this.
Yes. Is he a vocal cat?
I hope so.
Fred is the cat editor on the stairs, and I want his thoughts.
This is the greatest thing that's happened to me.
Yeah, he's really, he loves Brooke. He loves Brooke. Brooke is loved by this cat.
But next week on, this is a non sequitur. Next week on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Challenge is a Sex in the City challenge.
Holy shit. When does that happen? Yeah.
It's like an acting challenge on Friday nights.
Oh, fuck yes. I am very, very excited about that. There's going to be some good shit. I wonder if they'll bring in Carrie Dragshaw.
Oh, I wonder if they'll bring in Carrie Dragshaw.
Probably not, but she deserves to be. She deserves to be there. Guys, we're in the last half of the last season of Sex and the City.
This is so crazy. Much
is happening. I was wondering when Steve and Miranda was going to come back and back around. There's a lot of very, I feel like, iconic stuff that happens in this episode. It feels like a very New York episode. It's interesting. I like this one. It's episode 11 of season 6, and it's called The Domino Effect.
Shall we dive in?
I think we should probably dive in.
Okay, ready? Oh, wait, my God. Hi, Bridget.
Oh, my God. Hi, Brooke. Hi, everybody.
What are
Please
we even doing?
Forgive us. Oh, my God.
What are we doing? Let's do this. Let's do this for real.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to
Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about Sex in the City.
Sex in the City. 10 years younger.
And 20 years later. And boy, oh boy, are we happy to be here.
Oh boy. I'm going to apologize in advance for the fact that my brain is apparently leaking out of the sides of my ears. I wondered what that feeling was. Okay, so the domino effect, shall we?
Okay, ready? One, two, three, play. I have guest starring Chris Noth, and she's walking down the street.
And she looks real good in this dress. It's like silvery and flouncy. And
her bra is showing, and her hair finally looks good.
Yes, her hair is like, poof, dream. She has very early 2000s lip coloring, that like pale pinky pearly color.
Oh, I've seen that place on the street before.
I feel like I have too. Yes, they're like up above a wrought iron gate.
Like a fancy
Probably some kind of club or hotel or something. So
yeah. She's having dinner with Big.
And there, she's talking about how she could never, you know, not live in the city. And he's like, look, everything on this table had to have come from the, you know, country somewhere, basically. And they're having this really cute bantery conversation. And he keeps being like, this is fun. Let's fight, you know.
And he's like, she's like, what are you doing in New York? Making deals, breaking hearts. And he's like, actually, I'm having a little heart thing done, meaning he surgery.
Says it, right. Very casually. And Carrie says, what? And he said, yeah, I had a blockage. I'm getting an angioplasty. And as he says, I can kiss red meat goodbye as he takes a bite of steak. And Carrie
starts like breaks sobbing.
Down. Breaks down. It's quiet, but she is head in her hands, convulsing. And Big's like, calm down.
He's like, he says, don't be such a sissy. And this is actually reminds
me. He keeps eating too.
And like the waitress comes over and is like, or the waiter comes over and is like, miss. And he's like, she's fine. This is funny because when Ari and I got lunch.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember this.
I forget if I already told this story on the podcast, but Ari, roommate of the pod, and I got lunch like the day before I left. And I had just like, I was just crying. It was the day before I left. And I like couldn't stop crying. I had just taken like yoga with my favorite teacher. And I saw him and I like started crying because every person that I hugged, I started crying. And we're like sitting at lunch.
It was a crying time.
And we're like talking and then I would start crying. Mm-hmm. And like the waitress came over and I was like, listen, I just need you to know that like everything is fine. I can't stop crying. But it looked like Ari was like breaking up with me.
Right.
And that I wasn't handling well. And I was like, no, no, we are friends and I'm fine.
And so good. And exactly what's happening here. Yeah. Big through the whole thing is very much like, she's fine. Could you bring napkins and some violins? He's like kind of giving her a hard time, teasing her about it.
Yeah, because that's their thing.
Yeah. So Miranda gets home and there was a different dinner being prepared. Less cholesterol, yes. And no tears. So yes. Blair Underwood,
the hot doctor, is making enchiladas for Miranda.
In her apartment.
Arriba.
And she's like, I don't know how you got in, but I'm obsessed with this. This is a sight to behold.
He's wearing this like really fun patterned shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in this TV show uses their
that matches
kitchen,
her hair.
So, and he's like. But he's funny. He's like, I can cook one thing. And he holds it up like literally vertically. That it's
like
just
they
like,
should all tumble out.
About to
glued
tumble
in
out.
There. Yes.
And
but they do look amazing.
Some of them, like two fingers.
It's very, yeah, very weird. And then they have a very not sexy kiss. But she sees the table and he set it all with placemats, which she doesn't know she had. And she is delighted.
He has
How
decanted
am I
going to
thank you
wine.
For all this? I mean, every single thing has been taken care of here. And you can imagine how hot that is for Miranda. Also, yeah. I've had decanted wine recently, and it actually does taste better. It's kind of crazy.
It does. Red wine is meant to be aired out. Ugh.
Right?
Welcome to the world, Bridget.
I know. And then Blair Underwood talks her into playing hooky from work, which
taking
she's never
hooky.
Done taking hooky. I'm going to take a little hooky today. So they skip work and they have morning sex and they are in
and
the apartment.
Morning sex. Okay. I'm clocking the kissing. This kissing
better
seems better. And
yes.
So Steve walks in with his keys.
He's
looking
for something.
We don't know what
and
it is.
And he wouldn't obviously expect Miranda to be home because usually she'd be at work. So he just walks right in to the bathroom. I mean, to the bedroom.
And they are like fucking.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Like we
they
see,
truly
but
are.
Her leg is up and Steve
there's
is like,
rhythm,
oh my God,
there's...
oh my God. Everyone's
and then he tries
out,
to
and Steve, like,
leave
walks
and
into
he
a wall.
Whams his face into the doorknob and he's like, oh my God, into the doorframe. He's like, he's bleeding out of his nose and he's seeing spots. And Blair Underwood is like, listen, I'm a doctor. Let me help, fully naked still.
and Miranda's like, he's a doctor and he's my boyfriend. And it's like the first time she's called him a boyfriend. So Steve has to watch them be like, oh.
Oh, is that
boyfriend?
What's happening here?
Oh, I like that when you
call
me that.
And Blair Underwood's
huh?
like, yeah, yo, I'm into that. And she's excited. She's wearing his shirt now, which really does compliment her hair. And Blair Underwood ends up putting a cut in half tampon in his nose, which genius. I mean, it's made for it. She's the Man went there too. He says he should be bruised. He's just fine. After he says, I'm going to need a tampon, Steve goes, what? What the fuck?
And so she's like, are you some nose guy? And he's like, I'm in sports medicine for the Knicks, which Miranda says, which we know Steve loves basketball.
Loves the Knicks.
Never we forget the basketball incident where Steve just wanted his mommy to come watch him play.
Oh, God.
And by his
mommy,
when he
became a 12-year-old boy,
his girlfriend, Miranda.
Yes.
So here we are at brunch.
And Miranda's like, honestly, it was the perfect way that Steve could have found out and that they could have met each other. And they have this whole conversation about how, like, the reason Miranda feels so good. She's like, poor Steve. I mean, he broke his nose. He had to see us having sex. He works for the Knicks. Like, he's a doctor.
I like what Carrie says, too. She's like, I am horrified and I will continue to be horrified for the rest of today.
Yeah, I know. It's so good when she's reacting to Steve walking in on them.
Yeah. I've never walked in on anyone having sex.
I don't think I have either. Not fully.
I've walked in post-coital, but never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Actually,
same.
Wait. This is a funny story, too. I'm full of anecdotes. My junior year, I went to prom. I was actually thinking about this moment earlier today because it's around this time. Like, my time hop is, like, from my high school shows. I went to prom with my friend, and then I ended up hooking up with this other guy who I didn't know, but he told me that I was great in the, like, he said, like, you were something glorious or something, like, really hyperbolic in what the in the show, and I just started making out with him.
Oh my god.
It was bad. And he was best friends with the boy that I actually had a crush on.
Oh no. Double bad.
They were rooming together at the hotel where the after party was, and so this guy Chad and I, like, walked down.
Chad, stop it.
Walked down to his room to, like, get something. I don't really know. And we walk in, and his friend had just finished having sex with a girl who was not his date. And we walk in, and he was like, Brookie? And I was like, Andrew? And we had, like, this moment of, like,
both of you realizing what was happening.
If you listen to the podcast, Andrew, I did have a crush on you in high school, but I don't anymore.
Oh, I'm so glad we've reached the true confessions portions of this evening. Miranda says I mean, Samantha says the, like, thesis of the scene where she's like, you won the breakup, basically.
I hate it. I hate winning. I hate that idea. I hate that idea.
I mean, I hate the idea too, but I think that's often how people feel and think after breakups.
I know, but I also just, like, don't think that it's that cut and dry, because, like, what one person thinks is winning the breakup, another person could not interpret
it. It's true. It's very true. And hopefully you're off living your own lives anyway and not worried about the other person. But reality doesn't work that way sometimes. Carrie tells them she saw Big and that she cried. And then as she's telling them what happened, she cries again. And then Mitzi Von Muffling, she's back, baby. And here
married to Nathan Lane.
And she's very pregnant, and she tells them that she's having a girl and that she went to this acupuncturist who solved all of her fertility issues.
She also says that Bobby, Nathan Lane, wants to name the kid Judy or Barbara.
Yes, very pointedly. And my mouth dropped open in this scene. Because after she walks away from telling them all of this, Samantha straight up calls Bobby the F word. And you're like, wow. Wow. I truly did not expect that on this. I don't know why. That hasn't happened before on this show, right?
I don't know. It might have.
She's definitely, she's said tranny. Oh, maybe. But that's a different story a little bit.
But anyway, Charlotte is like,
okay, I'm going to go to this acupuncturist. And she gets to the waiting room and is greeted with, like, rows and rows of women around her age all looking at her, just staring at her.
She has
a 3 o'clock with Dr. Mao, and she's wearing the very cutest, like, striped pants and, like, lacy blouse and a very
cute. She looks cute. And everyone has these, like, kooky banana-y anecdotes.
My sister could never get pregnant. She tried XYZ and he spent 1 hour with her and she was cured, which I couldn't help thinking the undertones of all of this, which it didn't end up being this at all, was that this doctor was, like, having sex with these women. Which obviously in the beginning I wondered with Mitzi. Bitsy.
Oh, I didn't get that. But I wonder if that's what that's they're not, referring to.
But it's not what ends up happening, I don't think. Because he does do acupuncture. She has needles sticking out of her face and her belly. And he warms up the room or turns on the audio. They have a very old-fashioned, like, 90s built-in wall stereo system.
I want to do acupuncture.
I love acupuncture. I did it a lot as a kid. Our whole family did. It's kind of a weird thing to get used to, but it's great. And he leaves her, like, alone with her thoughts. So Carrie goes to visit Big.
In the hospital, and he looks very, like, he's sleeping.
He looks very vulnerable in a way Big doesn't usually.
I love and this dress.
I know, me too. She looks amazing. Except, of course, she has her black bra fully hanging, or green bra fully hanging out of the back, as she loves to do. But yeah. Big has this, like, very weak voice. And then he raises his eyes and talks to her really loudly, and she freaks out.
And he's like, you should have seen your face, kiddo.
He says, you're such an easy mark.
She looks stunning. I love her hair right now.
I know. It's really gorgeous. The coloring, it's darker with, like, just a little bit of blonde, and it's like a bob length and very loosey waves. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And the nurse comes in and he's like, oh, it's Ruby time. I love Ruby.
Ruby's my favorite nurse.
And Ruby's like, I bet she says that to all the nurses. And Carrie's like, well, it's a safe assumption.
And then she starts crying again.
Because Big, like struggles to sit up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's hard for him.
Her hands are trembling. Her face is down. And Ruby says something about, your husband is fine, something. And she sits up dry-eyed and says, he's not my husband. And Big just kind of smirks. So now, I was watching this on the train with subtitles and was like, everyone around me. Because Miranda Smith is back. And Miranda's, like, talking him through. They're sitting together on the bed. And she's talking him through, like...
But Bridge, I feel like this debunks your theory.
I know. She knows what she wants. And she's... But I also think it's with him. It's different.
Although, she read a book. So maybe she finally learned. And also, she's been masturbating a lot, probably.
Yes. So she's... Well, my theory that she's had a lot of mediocre sex still stands, I think. It's just like she's better at it. She is genuinely good. But also I think she trusts him. She like was talking him through how to make her feel good. And then on the street later, she's wearing crazy ass low rise pants, which like, thank God we will not let that trend come back.
No, they're like also cargo pants. And Smith is trying to hold her hand. And
he tries to hold her hand and she's pulling away. And she steps back and her heel catches and she falls into one of the fucking sidewalk, like underground storage areas in the New York sidewalks.
And she like breaks her toe.
And he looks down at her and she's just like on her back in a pile of boxes. It's so funny. And also like that was such a big fear of mine when I used to visit New York. I wouldn't walk over them.
Carrie says, how'd that happen? And Samantha goes, it was Smith's fault. He did something so perverse. Okay, I'm going to say it. He tried to hold my hand. And Carrie plays along.
You mean to tell me that he's a hand holder? And to think he served us food. And Samantha like, it's to her credit, is like, there's a bigger problem here. He was like, listen, he was out of town and there's something else. I missed him. Oh, yes, Samantha, emotional growth, admitting it to your friend.
She didn't sleep with anyone else.
She didn't sleep with anyone else while he was gone. It's huge. Carrie is wearing this, like, straw fedora just perched on the very top of her head.
Awful. And Carrie's like, you know what? You should just fucking love him because life is short. Big has hearts. I'm crying.
Well, I went to the hospital. I keep crying. Things are hard. I think I figured out. She was like, the hard thing is that I figured out that to keep Big in my life, I had to block out all my feelings. But then this happened, and now all of my feelings are coming out of my eyeballs all the time, which I totally relate to. I'm a strong feelings crier.
Me too.
Any feelings.
Carrie goes, he's limited. I admit that, like, emotionally.
Which is also more insight
than
she's ever had about Big that I've heard her have out loud. I'm like, okay. At least she sees some of
this. It's sort of nice to, like, find that, you know, as someone who has, like, in the past, you know, 5 years had someone who visit on and off that, like, there's, like, a very strong emotional and physical connection. Like, I remember when I got to that point where I was like, this actually, like, isn't, like, I love this person, but I don't, like, I understand that it will never, I don't know, something shifted, and I feel
like it's also more sustainable this way. Like, this is the balance. You figured out what the balance of what it has to be for, at least for now, you know?
Yeah.
And it is. It's sort of, Carrie's figured it out prior, but is like more so, I think, even figuring it out now. But she does this very, the start of her I Wonder, I'm like, truly, I'm like, this does not make sense. She goes, she takes a bite of an apple and she goes, if New York City's signature fruit is the apple, then its signature sound is the ambulance siren. It seems like all day, every day. But I'm like,
people are getting
just
hurt.
So she just stretches so far. Also, why did we go from the apple to, it's just, I'm like, come on, Carrie.
She's like, what about injuries that don't happen on the street if you're falling into a hole or you're falling back in love? How dangerous is an open heart? Which honestly is a great cue.
Yep. And I talked about in therapy how I'm very, very open book in a lot of ways, but in a lot of really important ways, I've realized I am super closed book. Holy
Me
shit.
Me too. I think it's one of the reasons why we are like similar and are attracted to each other as friends, because we both are, it was very easy for us to get to know each other originally because we were sort of like, yep. But it took like a while for us to get to know the like,
beyond
because
that.
We're in a romantic relationship.
Yep. Literally we are.
But I feel like I had an open heart and it hurt me. And now I have a very closed heart.
Yeah. I have a heart that is like closed off in ways that I don't even think I realize fully at this point, you know, mm-hmm. But I can feel it, but I'm like, oh, fascinating. There's a lot of new architecture in there, but I don't even know what any of it is.
So like, I don't really know what Carrie's asking, like, other than like, is it dangerous to have an open heart? Like, yes, in the same way that it's like dangerous to make yourself vulnerable to love in any capacity.
Right. And the risk and the, but that also that's part of what it all is. I don't think you have one without the other, without the risk.
It's true.
Ugh. So she picks up the phone and she dials, and it's Mount Sinai Hospital. She says, can I be connected to room 817? And it turns out the Big has already been released into the wild. So instead she goes to his hotel room to find him.
Yeah.
And he's standing, he comes to the door. He looks good. He's like, how did you find me? And she's like, please, I knew you'd go to the Four Seasons. And I was right. She's wearing kind of like a flasher coat. It's cute.
A trench coat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. It's not called a flasher coat. But she comes in and she pushes him out of the way. And she's like kind of swaying her hips a little bit. And she rips the coat off. And she's wearing a candy striper outfit. And she Big like laughs so genuinely, and he's like, are you trying to kill me? I can't smoke, like, I can't drink, I can't get excited about anything.
He's like, put your coat back on. And she's like, I'm in the union.
and then she puts the little hat on, and he calls her a candy stripper, of course, instead of a candy striper. And he says, a complete waste of a hotel room if you ask me.
And she's like, I've got a whole bag of PG fun. She has two sets of dominoes.
And she's classic and day glow.
One is white and one is red.
Why don't you just take off the dress and kill me? Get it over with. Nobody wins with that kind of attitude, she says, and pulls out a lollipop. And they both laugh so cutely.
It's very cute.
So, because they're little wee redheads, Miranda is taking great care of baby Brady's skin and sunscreening him up at the park.
He's aged
so much. I was like, how much time passed between the last episode and this one? He's like a small toddler now.
And now we cut to Steve, and we finally get Debbie.
And Miranda says, hello, it's nice to meet you, and steps forward. And as she does, she trips over Brady's stroller and falls. She's like, nice to meet you. I'm Miranda. And he introduces Debbie, who's gorgeous. And she says, are you okay? You really went down hard. And Miranda's trying to play it off very casually, like she's totally fine. And Debbie, like, sort of has a relationship with Brady. You know, she bends down to say hi. But then.
Yeah, she calls him something weird. The Braidster or something. Braidalicious.
Oh, maybe. That's what it is. But then Blair Underwood shows up and we suddenly have the meeting of the exes and the currents. And it's fascinating to watch.
And Miranda once again presents the Knicks. And Debbie's like very sweet, but she's like, Steve loves the Knicks. starts talking on and on and on about
she's
how
like
much
he watches Knicks. every weekend, and he won't let me talk during the games at all, not even in the other room.
And Steve is like trying to get her to shut up because it's embarrassing. And she's like, one time we went to a Knicks game, but we sat so far up. What are those seats called again?
Oh, nosebleeds. So fun. And then, ironic, of course, Blair Underwood being nice
because of his nose.
And Blair Underwood is like, you know, I could probably swing you some courtside seats. And Steve is like, no. I love my nosebleed seats. I earned them.
And Miranda's like, take the seats.
But she's also kind of really enjoying it. Because one thing she says at brunch is that she's like, am I petty for enjoying that, like, I won this, you know? Back at the acupuncturist. And then he leaves her again, different room. And he tells her to just be calm and with her thoughts. But there's some kind of, like, protest party thing happening on the street. So she can't focus at all. And she gets up with the needles in her face, which you're really not supposed to do, especially because it tenses all of your muscles and everything. And she...
Yeah, I feel like that would hurt. She's like sitting up like that.
You're just... Well, as long as she doesn't have them on her body, but like you're not... It doesn't really work that way because they go into your muscles and like release them. So if you're walking around with needles in your face, and she shuffles out into the operating room and she... With the needles coming out of her face and all the women
waiting
there.
The waiting room.
What did I say?
The operating room.
There is no operating happening. But she's like, I can't get centered. And Dr. Mao comes back in with her and is like, listen, if you can't get used to, you know, dealing with the sounds of New York, you're never going to get centered. And she realizes the problem wasn't finding her center, but finding some earplugs.
And so Smith and Samantha are walking down the street. This time
you just said Samantha and Samantha, which is amazing. Samantha and Smith.
Smith and Samantha.
Did you? Okay.
I think so. I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. She has a boot on her toe and he tries to hold her hand again and she won't do it. And she's like, I'm not that kind of girl. And Smith, to his credit,
goes, like, Samantha, I like you. You like me. Just hold my fucking hand.
I am sick of this bullshit. And so she does. And she's like, fine, but only until my foot heals. And that's how Samantha lost her virginity to Smith. But she is just holding his hand walking down the street. And it's so he like knows how to be sharp with her. And she truly does. He's so hot. Even just the way he walks down the street. But also she really does like him, you know. And so she's listening to him in a different way. Ugh, thrills me. So Carrie's setting up like a massive domino chain.
And Big is like giving her notes.
It's really funny. She says, yes, this is more your generation's game. I was more of a Parcheesi girl. And then Big goes into this introspective, like, this is what we'd be like in our 70s, huh? You and me, you know? And he says, seriously, kid, because she makes a joke out of it. He says, you and me, early bird special.
She goes, yeah, save me a baked potato. I'll meet you there.
And he smiles. But he looks a little troubled and he is pondering something seriously. She says, are you okay? And he says he's not feeling great. So she takes him up to the bed.
Because he has a fever.
Mm-hmm. He's burning up. She says,
and she calls the doctor and she's like, okay, it's down to 101. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. And it's like, looks like there's ginger ale and there's a cold towel on his head. And she's just like taking care of him. And he's like grateful and, you know, in the way
it's
that sickies
sweet.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've never seen this version of Big.
No. And this dynamic is new between the two of them. She says, I think you're going to be, she thinks you're going to be fine. Is the washcloth still cold? She's just being really thoughtful and sweet. He says, that feels nice.
It's interesting that this is the first time we see Big post-burger. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. There's been neither of them. There have been no men for her for like 3 episodes.
And so
he tells her she's an angel and she deflects and he says, no, really. And he says, what are we doing? I'm talking about us, you know, like he says life's too short because this heart thing has made him think, which as someone who knows someone who recently went through a similar surgery, very unexpectedly, though, it is crazy how much of a perspective shift it is in like every way.
Absolutely. And she's like, I don't know. And he's just like looking at her and there's piano music playing and they just lie there. And look
she
at each
scoots
other.
Up next to him and
No, they don't even
they don't do anything.
They just look at each other and then he falls asleep and it's very sweet.
It is. It's very different than their usual dynamic.
They just love each other.
Yeah. You can see it here. Even if I'm not sure the writing has quite earned it, they're definitely, this episode is.
Well, their chemistry is also just insane.
It really is. And she said, indeed, the surgery had unblocked Big's heart. In fact, it was wide open.
For the first time ever.
Miranda, the next morning in the light of day.
She looks amazing. They're finally dressing Miranda
I
well.
I know. She really does. She's wearing some really cute business chic-y clothes, like a very flowy blouse and a cute flattering skirt. Steve drops Brady off and he says, that was funny the other day. And she says, it was fun. Oh, wait, did you say fun or funny? And he says, I guess I think I meant fun. He and seems like, really...
Miranda's like, Debbie seems really nice, which is funny compared to the, like a couple episodes ago where she hid under the bed.
And she really did not want to meet Debbie. She did not like the idea of her. Steve says, same thing, like he seems like a really great guy. And Miranda's like, yeah. But then they look at each other and he says, Miranda, piano music. It's really intense. She's holding Brady between them. And he says, Miranda. And he looks really serious. And then he says, oh, hi. Because Blair Underwood emerges from the room.
And we're like, what is Steve about to say? What was Steve going to say? This broke my heart. Steve and Miranda share this moment.
I know. And she's waiting for it. She's like so hopeful. And then they all have a really nice, easy, bantery moment. Blair Underwood suspects nothing. And then Steve kisses Brady and leaves.
We
have more Mitzi Von Muffling. Bitsy, whatever the fuck.
So she starts talking to Charlotte.
She runs into Charlotte on the street again, and she's like, did you go to that doctor? Well, you know, these people all couldn't be pregnant and now are because of it. And Charlotte, as she's listening to her,
Charlotte
tunes her
out.
Charlotte
is able to just block her out.
And she's like, wow, Dr. Mao did teach me how to block out the sounds in New York. He was a miracle worker.
In just two short sessions, she could block out the New York noise she didn't need to hear.
So she doesn't have to listen to Bitsy talk about other women getting pregnant. She like, that's so Raven's away from the situation.
Yeah. And when Carrie wakes up, Big is just like sitting there with his eyes open. And I did have a moment where I was like, what if they had just killed Big?
My God. Can you fucking imagine? Like, people would have rioted in the streets.
If they didn't, obviously. But I was just like, what if that had been the decision that they made, was to just kill him right there and she wakes up and he's dead next to her?
And it's, but what if it wasn't from the heart, it was from the murder mystery aspect? Something happens to him and she now has to solve it, and the whole tenor of the last like eight episodes. Yes.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
And then Big kind of bolts out of bed when he sees she's awake, and as he walks away, he symbolically like knocks over the dominoes with his feet and leaves the room.
And Carrie was like, well, maybe his heart will open. And as he walked away, I saw his heart close. Maybe it'll open again in another five years. And she's like, not enough.
And she asks Big what he wants for breakfast so she can call for room service. And she says, and for once that week, I didn't feel like crying. She kind of just realizes, she's like, okay, this is, and she tops the rest of the dominoes over, but they stop. They don't knock all of them over. And she says, life's too short. So she's just kind of accepting the nature of her love with Big, and that it'll always kind of be something, but it won't be open and it won't be expected.
It won't be romantic. Yeah. This season is really into the like early 2000s like guitar strummy like dramatic
song. Yes, I know the music.
It's like a very intense tone shift from the like saxophone of yore.
It also feels more high school than 33-year-old, you know?
Well, that's the episode. What was it called? The domino effect.
Mm-hmm. Literal as always.
They don't play around. Nay. Those titlers.
Nay. Who did you relate to?
I related to Carrie in a shocking turn of events.
Yes, yes.
And also Miranda. Again.
Yes, yes.
Shocking. Here we are.
Yes. Me too. Very strongly, both of them.
I think they're pretty self-explanatory why.
Yeah. And I actually think Carrie is so introspective and thoughtful and sweet in this episode.
Yeah. It's a good version of Carrie.
Yeah. And I fully get the Miranda thing. Not even that that's happened so much exactly, but just like, yep, down to the not saying the things you want to be saying to each other and the, ugh, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
Ploppability?
I think it's pretty ploppable. I think it's just
I would agree.
It's like we, yeah, I think it's ploppable. Everything about it. There's nothing that's like.
No.
Except for the use of the word that begins with an, that.
Yes, the F word. The slur Samantha uses. Right. Right. Yeah, I would agree. Interestingly enough, it's a good one. I think it's on a, it's been a good streak. I've really liked the last
season
several.
Six is pretty bomb.
Yeah, I'm really delighted to see how it all unravels, the slow denouement of this whole series.
Oh, a great term.
Thank you.
I wanted to use denouement the other day, but I was talking, what I was talking about was the inciting incident.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, we learned all we needed to know in seventh grade English classes, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Wow. I also learned that in seventh grade.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was when I
Oh, no, mine was eighth grade.
Mine might have been eighth grade, too, actually. I just have very specific memories of, but I had the
same
teacher
like
both
really
years.
I can, like, really picture myself in it. Wow. That's it. Delty's up season, Delty's downsies. Is that what we jump into?
I think we're there. Okay, my Delta down is how dreadfully cold it was this week and just how much of a mess the weather was. We got interrupted by the new and now third roommate of the pod named Alex. How fucking cold and weird the weather was this week. But I've reached kind of a weird point of stasis, which is great in the immediate sense, but also means that there's been a lot of like back burner long-term emotional stuff I've been putting off for a long time. But I'm also kind of excited about it too. I had a really good, very unexpected therapy session on Friday where I was just like, oh boy. You know, but my Delta up is seeing your face, talking to you, the sun setting later, and I ordered just some stuff for myself this week that's been coming, you know, like every day I've gotten little treats. So it's been very satisfying and I'm really excited to just like lose myself in
the moment, the minute,
beauty,
the minute,
processes.
Never, ever,
also go, fucking go. That thank you, mom's spaghetti on my sweater, you know, the important things. You, my friend,
my Delta down is just I don't think I have one, just like my general, like the moments of general anxiety, but it hasn't been having as much. Like, because my Delta ups have been super up, like starting to teach again and like being reincorporated into
huge.
The core power community. I'm like already just like feeling so much
so
better,
exciting.
Which is really exciting. And that was my Delta up. Yeah. And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yes.
I guess my Delta down
Lest
is that
we forget.
I don't have a PS4. So like if you live in the LA area and you have a PlayStation 4 that you're like, Brooke seems cool. Could I invite her to come over and sit on my couch for like hours, couple hours at a time? And like we could chat.
Play Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
So priorities, baby.
Or if you know like how I could get my hands on a PS4 for like a cheap amount of money,
please help us.
Just let me know.
It's important.
And also seeing your face is obviously the light of my life.
Always. if I wanted to find you on social media, Brooke, do you have a way that I could possibly do that?
Actually I do.
Oh my god.
You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman, and you can find me on Instagram at Brooke_Wiseman. And if you put an underscore, I will record myself crying and send it to you once a day, every day for 3 weeks.
Oh, can I sign up for that for free anyway? wait. How many Darren stars do you give this episode?
Oh, thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome.
I give this 9 out of 10.
Nice. I was thinking 8.5. I think I'm going to go 8.5.
Great.
Love it. Maybe. Honestly, it would be a solid 9 for me. But, you know, like last week you knocked it down and this week I'm knocking it down for Samantha.
Great. Slurs. Take
Slurs,
it down.
Slurs. Boo. Like nope. Sorry to have interrupted.
Oh, yeah. That's all. And then I guess if you want to find me on Snapchat, find me at BrookieMonster9.
God, it's so good. I was treated to some really delightful Kingdom Hearts 3 related Snapchats the other day.
Bridget, like, could not believe. Basically, yeah, I'm watching other people play it so I can enjoy it.
Because Brooke,
I'm
not ready to show. Twitch. It's so good.
I never thought I would find myself on Twitch, but, and I don't intend to do more on Twitch than just this. But
I see your future streaming queen.
I have the headset.
It's true.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I can't.
It's like an alternate universe, but yes, I can.
Social media, ma'am. What about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin. You can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. Please find me both of those places because I would like you to.
I'm hungry for your follows.
Although, I don't think I've posted an Instagram in like 3 weeks. So Twitter is a constant. Instagram is a little bit more of a roulette, you know?
I'm an Instagrammer, if you are. Call me that. Anyway, collectively, you can find us at Splat Podcast.
On Instagram, Twitter, at gmail.com.
You know, I might, with all the downtime that I'm having
downtown.
In this new city, I might take a stab at
Squarespace. And you might end up stabbing yourself in anger. So let me know how that goes.
I have not had good experiences, but maybe I'll look up some YouTube tutorials. I'm really into YouTube right now, too. I'm regressing.
I mean, we all need a little bit of 2008 in our lives, don't we?
Yeah. Everybody start. Can we start Live Journal? Let's bring Live Journal back.
Oh, don't worry. I have been reading Veronica Mars fic on Live Journal for the last 3 weeks.
See, we all have we've all got our junk. And my junk is you.
And my junk is you.
And with that, I will say goodbye.
And with that, I will say adieu.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.